Get in the van! We're doing podcast stuff!
We just saw the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I feel nostalgic or old or just excited.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
God, that was that guy. Richie is just a gift.
He really is.
Ugh. And the rest of the band's pretty fucking good, too.
Yeah.
So before we get into any of that nonsense, I would like to take this moment to put the entirety of sound technicians for live rock and roll shows on fucking blast in Los Angeles. Jesus fucking Christ, be better at your goddamn job.
Like, it's Los Angeles. Like, you would think that we would have, like, sound people who knew what they were doing.
For fuck's fucking sake.
And it's not like it's that hard to fucking mix Violent Femmes.
Yeah. They're mostly acoustic.
Yeah.
I'm tired of listening to guitars through mud.
Yeah.
At least the bass wasn't up too high this time because it wasn't electric. Although the one song where he played the xylophone and they had a stand-in electric bassist, the bass was up too high.
Yeah, I don't even know.
The entire fucking industry in Los Angeles. Do better at your job. All of you.
So... Part of it is most of the music venues in LA pay their sound people and their lighting people shit.
Yeah.
And so the people who are actually qualified to do this stuff are off doing other things because they don't want to work for a local venue because they like eating and paying rent.
Yeah.
So there's that. So, I mean, we might want to, like, aim some of the blast at the venues themselves. Like, if they paid a living wage, they would get better sound people.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I do know it. I know that, and I recognize that.
It's still frustrating.
Yeah. Like if I were the poor schmuck who took that job... I would still want to do a better job.
Sure.
Like, we live in the age of YouTube. Go fucking YouTube how to use that soundboard. Take some pride in the job that you're doing.
Right. No, I agree.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm done ranting about sound people.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah.
So the Violent Femmes.
Well, so there was an opening act.
Yeah.
We'll start there, because, you know,
he seemed perfectly cromulent.
So Jesse Ahern, I did a little bit of research about him before we came to the show. He's from South Boston. He's a South Bostoner. If you know a South Bostoner, you know.
Southie.
Yeah. I know. But, like, not everybody knows Southie.
But if you know a South Bostoner, you know that they're a Southie. So.
Yes. I mean, he's, you know, political and, you know, power to the working class. And, you know, his songs were very folk. He tours with the Dropkick Murphys a bunch, who the Femmes apparently recorded a song with them recently.
Yes.
So I assume that's where they picked up Jesse.
A Woody Guthrie song, no less.
Yeah, that was a really good tune.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a perfectly cromulent sort of folk, pseudo-punk, Southie. I didn't care for him, but he didn't suck. Like, I couldn't blast him for being bad.
No, he was good. I normally like political punk folk punk.
Yes,
whatever.
So do I.
And he wasn't my cup of tea.
No.
But he was fine.
Yeah.
He just wasn't my cup of tea.
No.
Yeah, anyway. So the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
So they started by playing the entire first album straight through.
Yes. So... they fell victim to a thing that I see occasionally from, I guess, maybe bands that haven't toured in a while. Or I don't know what the cause is, but like the first four songs are like watching YouTube on 1.5 speed. Right? It's all just sped up a bit. I don't know if they're nervous or they're trying to get through shit or what.
No, it's a nerves thing. They have to settle into it. And a lot of bands will like do a bunch of shit ahead of time, like backstage, to like get past that. But not everybody does.
Yeah, they needed to. The first four songs were really fast. And then they settled in.
Yeah.
And then once they got through the album, the second half of the show was fucking fantastic.
It was beautiful.
It was just firing on all cylinders. It was, and really it's mostly the lead singer. He was very uncomfortable at first, and then he got into
Gordon. Gordon is awkward. He is an awkward human.
Yeah. And that's what their music is all about. It's right. that awkward angst, pain, and fuel. It's wonderful. What was I going to say? So the second half where he's comfortable and he's in his rhythm and he's there and he's in the moment and he's focusing on his music, he noodled and he played and he did the magic that he does. Like, right. His brain is not on the same wavelength as the rest of us.
No.
And it comes through in his music so well.
Yeah.
And it speaks to that level of awkwardness that we all feel.
Right.
So good. So good. So yeah. Good. And then, you know, he, like, turns around and puts his guitar down in the middle of a song and grabs his fiddle, except the sound guy never turned the fiddle pickup back on.
Yeah.
So we couldn't hear him for the rest of that song fiddling what appeared to be beautifully. Like, I could see what he was doing and I could sort of fill in the gaps, but like, no, the sound guy never turned that pickup back on.
Yeah.
Or when the drummer was on the rhythm box.
Yeah.
Also not on.
Yeah.
Do better at your fucking job.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to rant about
sound people.
If you don't know who the Violent Femmes are, what are you doing with your life and why are you listening to this podcast? If you don't already love the Violent Femmes, you're suspect. Sit with that for a moment. Go listen to the first album, the self-titled album by the Violent Femmes. And come back and explain to me how you were wrong. I'll wait.
I just, oh. So the Femmes for me are very nostalgic. When I was 15, so 1984, yes, I'm old. I was in Germany on an exchange program. And I don't know, it's just, I don't vibe with Germany. I don't know how else to explain it. But so I went to see the Femmes in Dortmund. And the guy that I was dating literally picked me up and threw me over his shoulder and dragged me out after about three songs. He was an Iron Maiden fan. So he was like, I can't listen to this anymore. We're leaving. And then I found out that they were playing like an hour away in Bielefeld. And so I convinced...
I've been to Bielefeld.
Ah!
Not for a Violent Femmes concert.
But I convinced the guy who had until recently been dating the guy that I was dating's older sister. Yes, you need a whiteboard for that. To drive me to Bielefeld to go to the concert.
That's hilarious. So for folks who don't know German geography, Bielefeld is smack dab in the center of the country. And Germans have a joke that Bielefeld doesn't exist. Which makes it even more ironic that Twisted and I have both been to Bielefeld.
So this guy drives me to the concert, and I thought he had something else to do in Bielefeld. What I found out after the show was that he had been sitting in the parking lot the entire time. And this is unfortunate because I managed to get backstage. Mostly by talking to a roadie and him coming back to me and saying, I don't speak German. And I said, oh, great. And so I start talking to him in English. He's like, you're American. I'm like, uh-huh. He grabs me and drags me backstage because apparently the guys like were feeling very homesick because nobody spoke English. So I hung out backstage for like, I don't know, an hour or two, like just hanging out, drinking with the guys and stuff. And once they found out I was 15, they like, you know, all we were going to do was sit out and hang out and drink. And I come out and he's just sitting in the parking lot. And I'm like, how long have you been here? He's like, oh, I was here for the whole show. And I'm like,
dude,
I don't, what do you say to that? But anyway, so they're very, very dear in my heart. And I've seen them most every time they've come through LA, including the time where Batman ran lights for them when they played at Skybar of all places. And they actually, did you notice the lights were actually moving?
I did.
I was kind of impressed. Maybe Gordon is on medication. I don't know.
It was not as static a show as I was expecting.
Sure.
It still wasn't a particularly dynamic show.
No, but the lights did move.
They did move.
And they changed color.
There was a couple of times where the light tech actually like emphasized things with lighting. It was...
He probably got yelled at for that one.
Probably.
But so, you know, and I knew the words to like pretty much every song they played,
yeah,
except for the Woody Guthrie cover.
Right.
By the way, they have never played that, live before ever by themselves. And
we have video.
I got it on video, so I will post it. Hopefully the security guys next to me who were talking and talking and talking didn't end up on the video too much. But you can at least get an idea of what
this
the fuck they were doing.
Really talky crowd.
Well, and it's weird because for the first half, while they were playing the self-titled album, everybody was into it. Everybody was singing along. And then as soon as they stopped doing that, people started filtering out. People started talking. And all of a sudden it was the stereotypical LA crowd that I fucking hate because they're like not here to see the music for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, once the album was over, like, the awful people next to us got up and walked away.
Yeah.
They left.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going? And then, of course, at the end of the night, the band did the, you know, cliche thing of, all right, thank you, good night, walk off. But, of course, the house lights don't come up.
Everybody knows to start screaming and shouting and getting them to come back out.
Right, but no, half the crowd left. They just left. I'm like, where are you going? They haven't played American music yet. You know they're not done.
It's a school night and people are stupid. And I don't think, like, a lot of people who went to the show, especially, like, the older crowd, go to a lot of concerts.
Yeah. Also, this was a really interesting crowd. There was obviously the folks who are our age or, you know... older or, you know, roughly, right? Who remember the Violent Femmes.
Right.
There's a lot of kids in the show. And there were children whose parents had brought them, obviously. But no, I mean, there were like
people in their 20s and
lots
stuff.
Of 20-somethings.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I think older music is making a comeback. And, you know, for us, that was like the 70s. But like, apparently now, like, the mid to late 80s, and possibly even going into the 90s is, like, the cool retro thing. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was wild. It was very cool to see. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very entertained, just as a weird visual aside. So it used to be back in the day, for those of you who don't know the Violent Femmes, Brian, the bassist, had long hair. And Gordon was so straight-laced looking. Like, when he came backstage, he had put on his glasses, and I did not recognize him. He was, like, super nerd. And now, Gordon has long hair. And
a wild-ass shirt thing he was wearing.
Yeah. And Brian has, like, a buzz cut. I don't know. It struck me.
It was fun.
Yeah, the whole thing was fun. I'm very happy we went. People from Los Angeles can fuck off. Anyway, I thought it was magical and lovely, and I'm glad we went.
Absolutely. I would not have missed this. Like, I still remember exactly where I was the first time I heard this album.
Mm.
So.
I think I do, too. Interesting. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, it was lovely. It was great. So I will get this up as soon as possible. Tuesday we are interviewing Stephanie
Cabral,
wonderful photographer. And then I think we have a couple of weeks off, and then we're seeing Moita.
Yeah. Moita, and then
Cake. Is there anything between Moita and Cake?
I don't know.
I think so.
Hang on, let me look.
Hey, well, you know, we have technology. It's kind of fun.
Nope, that's not the right button. No, this is riveting fucking content.
We should sing the, like, let's go out to the lobby song. Or yeah. Except nobody wants me to sing right now. I was singing through a mask, and so I've got that scratchy thing going on again.
The
Real Mackenzies. Yes. We're going to see the Real Mackenzies. True Irish punk rock folk. It'll be so good.
We're into July.
So Cake and the Real Mackenzies, right. and then
Disturbed.
Disturbed, Breaking Benjamin and Ginger. Oh, so good.
Yeah. And then there may be some other sprinkled shows in over the summer. The $25 pack thing just came out. We're looking at some stuff.
So Live Nation's $25 tickets starts on sale on Wednesday the 10th. You have been warned. We will probably end up going to some shows. You may get a pink review from us just for fun.
It's already on the calendar.
Yeah, I kind of assumed we were going.
Absolutely.
Because for $25, fuck yes.
Fuck yeah.
I wanted to go to the show and I couldn't afford the tickets. So, but, you know, you should also go buy concert tickets because concerts are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, here's why you should go buy concert tickets. You should go buy concert tickets so that there's more good people in the crowd and less fuckos.
Please.
Or, sorry.
No, fuckos are good. We are fuckos.
Less knobs. Less knobs, more good people.
All right, cool.
We'll see you there.
I've been Twisted Cat.
This is Patch.
Get in the van! We're doing podcast stuff!